This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes on Tuesday, April the 11th, 2017. My name is Arvind Yuvraj, and joining me in the studio today is Angeline Tay.
Hello, hello. Today we'll be talking about the United Airlines overnight drama.
Yeah.
How we may have found a way to see if cancer patients respond to treatment, charging your electric car using a lamppost, and Google rolling out a fact check feature.
Yeah, but before we dive into our stories, Minister of Domestic Trade, Cooperatives and Consumerism, Dr. Hamza Zainuddin, mentioned this morning that SMEs now comprise of 36.3% of Malaysian economy compared to the 29% that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, and as of 2015, the SME sector is the biggest employer in Malaysia, accounting for 65% of total employment. More than 90% of SMEs are in the services sector, 60% in manufacturing and 3% in construction, and the remaining 1% is in agriculture and mining.
Yeah, so this does help us see how SME contributes to our economy from a macro perspective. Anyway, let's head on to our first story about the United Airlines.
Mm-hmm. And this morning, most of us woke up to a story on how a man was forcibly removed from a United Airlines flight from Chicago and Louisville on Sunday after the flight was overbooked. And of course, you know, as a passenger, you refuse to adhere to the airline's decision to randomly remove four passengers.
Yeah, so that's like crazy, right? That's like insane. I watched the video and it's definitely not fake news. There's a bunch of viral videos showing the man being removed from his seat like by force, and like he's dragged out by three members of aviation police. So here's what happened. This incident happened on flight 3411 from Chicago to Louisville. The flight was overbooked and the United Airlines was looking for volunteers to leave the flight.
So the airline actually confirmed that the incident occurred on the flight 3411 from Chicago to Louisville. And I guess, you know, so what happened is, according to their procedures and the United Airlines, they first have to seek for volunteers. And when that is unsuccessful, they explain the situation to the customers that they have to randomly choose to bump people off and finally involve law enforcement when a customer refuses.
Yeah, and apparently it's not unusual for airlines to bump travelers from overbooked flights. It actually happened to about 475,000 passengers on US airlines alone last year, according to the US Department of Transportation. But about 91% of the time, passengers volunteer to get bumped in exchange of receiving a seat on a later flight or a travel voucher as compensation.
Yeah, and that means the 9% who didn't volunteer are forced. Mm-hmm. And that amounts to 40,000 paying customers were bumped off against their will. Of course, travelers who don't volunteer here also get, you know, something in return for being bumped.
Yeah, so here's the rule in the US. If overselling results in delays, airlines must pay passengers twice the amount of the one-way fare to their destination, up to about $675. If delay of more than 2 hours domestically or more than 4 hours internationally, the maximum payout doubles to about $1,350.
And it's with the case with the United Airlines, they offered $400 to four volunteers to be placed on a later flight. And obviously, nobody took up the offer.
No one wanted to take that, yeah.
Yeah, and so they upped the ante to $800 plus a night in the hotel. And that was enough to get two passengers off the plane. But, you know, the industry analysts are questioning why the employees at the gate didn't try to further sweeten the deal.
Yeah, but then at that point, instead of raising the price further, the crew randomly selected a pair of travelers, apparently using a computer. They said they based it on random computer selection. The unlucky flyers were told to collect their things and disembark, but one man who claimed to be a doctor with patients to attend to the next day refused to go, and that's the man in the video that went viral who was dragged off. The airline called for police backup, officers boarded the plane and forcibly removed the man to the obvious distress of both him and other flyers, two of whom recorded the incident and, you know, put it on the internet, and then, you know, all of us got to watch it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not funny, right? This doesn't give the right for the airline or just anyone to drag people off the plane physically. I mean, as passengers. I mean, all of us have rode on an airplane before, and we mm-hmm. need to know our mm-hmm. rights. And just hope this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and airplanes are not cheap. I mean, you pay a lot of money for airplane tickets. You don't want to be dragged off by force yeah. and kicked off a plane, you know, if yeah. you don't want to. Yeah, they should have figured out another, like, a better way to do it, like a friendlier way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but let's move on from that fiasco and for a while and talk about some really interesting advancements in the medical field thanks to Sean Parker's Cancer Institute. According to a paper in the scientific journal called Nature, scientists in collaboration with tech billionaire Sean Parker's Institute for Cancer Immunotherapy may have just found a way to predict whether melanoma patients will respond to treatments that target the PD-1, also called the programmed cell death protein pathway in tumors, through a simple blood test. So basically what it means is that a blood test will be able to tell a patient if they will or will not respond to a specific type of treatment.
Yeah, now, you know, I know this isn't exactly a fun topic, especially after talking about how someone got dragged off the plane.
Yeah.
But it is actually positive news for anyone suffering from the disease, because one of the biggest problems with cancer treatment is that no one knows if a patient will respond to treatment. And most of the treatment is very aggressive, mm-hmm. which means by the time you realize they're not responding, the damage has been done.
Yeah. And Sean Parker, if you thought that was familiar, he's of course the former Facebook president, and he launched the Institute with his moniker and pursued hundreds of top scientists from a bunch of research universities across the US to form an alliance to solve cancer using cutting edge immunotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
He actually floated about $250 million of his own money, of about $3 billion fortune, to set this whole setup up.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that this isn't a cure for the disease, but if this discovery is true, it could be useful for those watching what Parker's organization comes up with next. This is actually the first major scientific paper to publish work from the Parker Institute, which means that it holds promise for the method designed by the Institute to bring researchers and universities together and cure the disease.
Yeah, they're actually working with a lot of top-notch scientists in the country, like scientists from the University of Pennsylvania and Memorial Sloan Kettering came together for the first time to work on the project, and they found that levels of the blood biomarker versus mutational load, which is also known as the tumor burden, may predict whether a cancer patient is responsive or not to treatment.
Mm, we won't get into these nitty-gritty details because, you know, the explanation of how it works might be a bit dense for those not working in the field like me. But feel free to read the article in Nature to get a better understanding. We'll have the link up to the news item on our podcast page, so go check that out.
Yeah, the important thing is that this discovery is just a small part of a much bigger plan. The big goal is to get rid of this horrible sickness, like, once and for all.
Yeah.
There's a company called Grail, which is a biotech company that spun out of Illumina, that is also working on a long-term research project to detect cancer through blood testing technology. And then there's Alphabet's life science vet Verily that has tried to create a few projects in the same vein as well,
mm-hmm.
Including like a Star Trek-like tricorder diagnostic tool to detect cancer early enough in the blood to catch it before it spreads. So this is just like another example of science being inspired by science fiction.
Yeah, the new unique thing about Parker is that he's a standout figure in tech and putting up the kinds of resources and army strength needed to make progress through mass collaboration. And this is basically the first glint of hope, you know, his vision might be working out.
Yeah, and hopefully it does. Any small progress is still progress for the fight against the big C, right? Yeah, so anyway, let's take a short break and get some music and messages in. And hopefully when we come back, we can discuss lighter subjects instead. There's a story on how you can charge your car using streetlights coming up. Enterprise Biz Bytes will be right back.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with Angie and Arvin. So just last week, we did this story about Facebook combating fake news, or false news, as they call it. And this week, Google, too, has jumped on that bandwagon. They just rolled out a new tool over the weekend to highlight articles in the Google search and Google News results that have been fact-checked.
Mm-hmm. So from now on, when a search query returns a result that has been reviewed, Google will display who made the claim and if a third-party organization has found it to be true, false, or somewhere in between. But just so we're clear, the search giant isn't doing its own fact-checking, but are actually relying on non-partisan websites like PolitiFact and Snopes, which basically assess the veracity of statements made by public officials and news organizations.
Yeah, so this fact-check snippet on Google will also include a link so users can provide feedback in case they think something is wrong. But despite the wide rollout, not every search query will be paired with an indication that it has been fact-checked. And some of the sites Google Google is turning to for verification might disagree on the accuracy of the claim in question. So it's unclear how Google will decide what to show in, you know, in those cases.
This change, of course, comes after months after Google faced criticism along with Facebook for spreading fake news and offensive misinformation. Google first tried its fact-checking feature, but in a limited capacity last year before the US presidential election. But this time around, the tool is being made available to in both its search and news results and in all languages.
Yeah, and one of the problems with this feature, though, is that it may take days for fact-checking websites to get around to verifying a story. And this wild fake news can spread like wildfires. So I'm not sure how effective it'll be. But you know what will be effective, though? Charging cars using lampposts or streetlights or street lamps or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so there has been a lot of progress with electric cars lately, especially with Tesla trying to push electric cars into the mainstream market. But the biggest problem with electric cars is that there's not enough charging stations yet.
And this is even worse in countries where garages are not included in normal houses. If you have an electric car, you would need a garage with a power outlet to charge your car overnight so that it lasts the next day.
Yeah, so it's an infrastructure problem. I've seen some charging stations in shopping malls here in the car parks, and there are some peppered like here and there all over the place, but they're obviously not as common as petrol stations. But that could all change when a London-based company called Chargy comes along.
Chargy's model is so direct that I don't know why no one thought of it sooner, you know?
Yeah.
Chargy's logic is that 72% of drivers in London don't have off-street parking. So owning an electric car and not being able to charge at home is a major disadvantage. So they basically leverage on the pre-existing infrastructure to solve the problem. And that infrastructure is none other than lampposts, yeah. And the company has developed charge points that connect to the existing lampposts all around. The cables are already there. The local government owns them. And once you've gone that far, you may as well make the next couple of logical steps.
Yeah. So this is one of those things where the solution is like right in front of your nose, but then no one realized it until these guys came along. Their vision is that there will be enough lampposts near your home with a charge point so you can park near to charge it overnight. They are developing a platform to manage the charging too, using a business model that's very similar to mobile phone contracts. So like your prepaid SIM stuff. Users will pay a monthly fee for access to the charge points and a free allocation of charge.
Chargy is very, very new, and the company is running a pilot program with Richmond Council in London by installing a number of units in Barnes and Kew, with the first charging points appearing later this summer. They're trying to create a win-win solution for everyone, especially the local government.
Yeah, they've admitted that the challenge of building a marketplace with multiple players is the biggest hurdle. They want to make it seamless and effectively free for the councils by solving the problem of half of all public charge points being out of service. Kudos to them for thinking of this, and hopefully it takes off and becomes like a norm and you know, becomes big in other countries as well. We'll take a super quick break, and when we come back, we'll round up and sign off. BizBytes will be right back.
Build financial mountains. BFM 89.9.
All right, it's time to wrap up BizBytes for today. Just before we go, we'd like to give a shout out to all our loyal listeners out there who enjoy BizBytes and want to be part of this conversation.
Yeah, if you ever feel like you have something to add to the stories we discuss every weekday, go ahead and tweet us during the show at BFM Radio, or email us at feedback@bfm.my, or even just text and WhatsApp us at 016-201-9000. And if you think you want to be in our studios discussing these stories with us, you could always join the enterprise team. Just write to us at careers@bfm.my, or go check out the job vacancies posted on our website, bfm.my, for more details.
Yeah, and they could be on BizBytes next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay, before we sign off, a quick recap of the stories we covered today. In case you missed it, we kicked things off with the drama that happened on a United Airlines flight overnight. A man was unfortunately dragged off the flight due to an overbooking situation. They handled it very poorly. The fallout has been swift and unrelenting on the internet, with many social media users vowing never to fly United Air ever again.
Yeah, then we moved on to a story on a possible breakthrough in science. Sean Parker's Cancer Institute may have found a blood test to see if patients will respond to treatment. And this could see precious time being saved for patients with severe illnesses, as they won't have to try treatment procedures to see if the treatment works or not. So fingers crossed for this.
Yeah, hopefully it does. Then we spoke about Google introducing a new fact-check feature for its search and news results to help combat fake news or false news. Facebook rolled out a new feature of its own last week. And then Google, who's also come under fire for the spread of fake news, is now following suit.
And finally, lampposts of the future could soon have a double use. A company called Chargy is looking to turn lampposts into charging stations and are offering users a prepaid charging plan.
Yeah, can you imagine like cars just line up across the street and then all of them just charging using the lamppost?
Yeah. I mean, it's cars lining up on the street here is normal.
Yeah. So on, if they fix lampposts on the federal highway, then we can just charge as we wait for the jam to clear.
Yeah.
Or the LDP
on
how
convenient.
I get to work. Yeah, for 1 hour, 2 hours. So remember, if you missed any of these stories, you can catch up on them via the Enterprise Biz Bytes podcast, which you can find on our website, bfm.my, or on the BFM mobile app, which is, of course, available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. It really cool, and you'll never want to use another app ever again.
Yeah, and next up, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. This morning, Sharad Kutan spoke to Petri Puhaka, the Finnish ambassador to Malaysia, on the country's education and innovative startup scene. And did you know Finland celebrates its 100 years of independence this year?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, the grill replay kicks off at 12:30.
Yeah, 100 years, you know. So that's a wrap for Enterprise Biz Bytes from Angeline Thay and myself, Arvind Yuvaraj. Here's wishing you a very pleasant workday ahead. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.